This summer, the world's best tennis players are coming back to Cincinnati. The Cincinnati Open returns August 8th through the 23rd. Bigger than ever, with new fan spaces, incredible food, drinks, and entertainment all in one place. Voted Tournament of the Year by the players themselves. Community Weekend starts August 8th. Finals weekend, August 22nd and 23rd. Get your tickets now at CincinnatiOpen.com.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
Now, if you've health questions, queries, concerns, send them in 087 1400 106. That's the WhatsApp number. Dr. Nina Burns, who's a GP at Generation Health Medical Clinic, is with me in studio today to answer all of your queries. How are you doing, Nina?
Thanks.
Listener has got in touch wondering about chronic eczema on their hands, particularly in the winter. Seems to clear up again as soon as the sun's out, though. I've tried so many different forms of moisturiser, balms, nothing seems to stop the skin from breaking. Is there anything I can do, or what changes can I maybe make to my diet? Would that help?
So it's important, obviously, to go to your doctor and make sure that's eczema. So eczema is atopic dermatitis is the name. It's a chronic kind of dry skin, really, that gets itchy and inflamed and red. Now, obviously, when it's very red and inflamed, steroids really are the core treatment that will help calm that down. And I think people are probably more afraid of steroids than they need to be. And I'll often find that if a patient's been prescribed steroids, they maybe don't use them for long enough or, you know, at the right dosing to get that down, because the steroids will calm it. And then I always say, even when the skin is good, you must moisturize. There's just one thing, though, in that question that makes me say it is important to make sure that this is eczema, because they just say it clears up when the sun comes out. Psoriasis will classically get better when it's exposed to sun. Like, so one of the treatments for psoriasis is UV rays. So you can get psoriasis on your hands, and especially on, you know, the palms of the hands and stuff. It can look quite different, but it can sometimes, people think it's a bit of eczema. So it's definitely important, even when it's bad, take photos. I always think people often come to the doctor and maybe it's not quite as bad as it can be. And I think for any skin condition, photographs are fabulous, because you can really look at how they've changed over time. So that it's definitely eczema. And if there's any question that maybe it's not, your doctor can refer you to someone and they can maybe take a skin biopsy or diagnose psoriasis, because the treatments are slightly different.
Okay.
But so if it is actual eczema, the key is keep the hands, just moisturize. You can't over moisturize a hand with eczema.
Listeners wondering about the muscle under their eye, that it goes through random phases of twitching. It can often last days. I'm wondering what could be causing this.
That's called blepharospasm. I think, do we have one of these questions similar before?
Similar.
So that's how Botox was discovered, to help reduce wrinkles, is they inject Botox for that, to relax the muscle. And they noticed that people's wrinkles went away, and we know the rest is history. But we still do use it for blepharospasm. So if it's happening all the time, obviously do go to your doctor. You know, things like if your calcium is off, things like that, it can cause twitching, but not usually in one place. So what causes the blepharospasm is hard to know. It can happen for no particular reason. Some people are overtired. Sometimes it can just be an irritation in the muscle, but it is treatable, is what I would say.
Listeners wondering, could cramping be an early sign of pregnancy? My husband and I have just started trying. I've been having some cramping and change in bowel movements, not due my period for another week. Is it too early to take a pregnancy test?
Not due for another week would imply you're sort of, if we say on a 28-day cycle, 1 week after ovulation, most pregnancy tests won't pick up the hormone. That certainly the ones you buy in this, you know, the ones you can buy in pharmacies, the early pregnancy predictors are by far the best ones you can get. They're better than the ones that we tend to have in general practice. I mean, we do talk to people early in pregnancy about what we call settling pains. Some women will almost feel like they're going to get their period. That's like bloating sort of feeling, and feeling like just a bit heavier in that area. But it's not always the case. So, you know, when you want to be pregnant, and people are often watching out for
looking
all
for signs.
Change. And look, if you're trying to conceive and you feel things are different, yeah, it could be. But I guess the best way, unfortunately, is to wait that week and do a pregnancy test. Yeah. If you have pain getting worse on one side, you know, especially if the pregnancy test is positive, then you do need to be checked to make sure it's not an ectopic, would be the other thing I would say. But yeah.
Okay. 087 1400 106, WhatsApp number for your questions for Dr. Nina Burns this Monday. Listener asking for a friend. She suffers horribly with IBS and is too embarrassed to seek further help for it. She does eat a lot of dairy and drinks coffee daily. Could cutting these out help?
So first of all, don't ever be embarrassed to go to your doctor about anything. I do think that show Embarrassing Bodies was good about that. You can't, honestly.
Absolutely, yeah.
Anything you go to a doctor about, I 100% I guarantee you, no matter how embarrassed you are about it, they've seen it before. And they would rather you tell them than not tell them. IBS obviously can cause so many symptoms in people. It can cause bloating, cramping, pain. It is really important if you have symptoms that are causing you distress is to go talk about it. You know, some people have dietary triggers for IBS. So some people, dairy can be, caffeine does stimulate your gut. So in some people can trigger. But, you know, there's so many other things. And it is just important to check in with your doctor because they can help you get to the bottom of it, make sure that is what it is. And there are some things that they can prescribe to help. Peppermint tea can be quite good if you tend to bloating and wind. That's a kind of the whole reason of eating mint after dinner as it aids digestion.
But if you are somebody with IBS, does drinking daily coffee or coffee, you know, even regularly, is that an aggressor?
So IBS really, what triggers IBS in one person another can vary hugely. You can't really sweepingly say that these are triggers.
Yeah, okay.
Onions and garlic are two of the biggest triggers for IBS, and artificial sweeteners. So when maybe at your coffee, are you putting an artificial sweetener in actually? But dairy, for some people, like dairy is a common trigger for stomach issues in people.
Okay. Listener says they're suffering badly with acid reflux only over the past few days, though. What could be causing this so suddenly?
So yeah, so if you've never had acid reflux before, and unfortunately we don't know what age this person is, we don't know what sex this person is, but... You know, I always say if you have severe reflux, particularly if it's not going away, if you're taking something like a Tums or a Rennie or something like that, like, you know, a heart attack can present as chest pain or like reflux. And particularly in women, often it's not sort of typical chest pain. So, I mean, if you have really severe reflux, not easing, please do go talk to someone because don't put it down to just being acid.
Yep. Listener says, I'm 60 years of age, Nina. Haven't been sexually active for over the last 10 years. My smear test came back with HPV with no cell change. I'm going for a colposcopy this week. I'm petrified, though, of getting bad news. All of my smears down through the years have actually been fine.
So look, being referred on for any test can be worrying. There are a couple of really reassuring things in here. First of all her previous smears have been normal. And also, while she's HPV positive, there was no obvious cell change on the smear. So remember, the reason we do smears is we're not actually looking for cancer. We're looking at the change that happens in the cells often many, many years before cancer would occur. And at those stages, that is treatable. So even if you have an abnormal colposcopy, even if they see some cells with early change, that is really, really treatable. So the whole reason we do smears is so we never see cancer. So you know, it's always nerve-wracking going to a clinic. Bring someone along with you. It's nice to have company and tell the people you're nervous. They're used to dealing with people who are nervous. Tell them you want them to explain everything to you. But there are quite a few things in that would say to me, I wouldn't be worried. The HPV virus, you know, it doesn't mean you've recently contracted it. You can have the HPV virus in your body for many, many years and it might not show. And the older smears, we used to look at the cells and only look for HPV if the cells were abnormal. We flipped it in recent years, whereas now we look for HPV first. So, you know, it may be that HPV was there, but on her previous smears, maybe it wasn't picked up, especially if it was more than 5 years since her last smear.
Listener says, I have a constant urge to clear my throat. There's a buildup of phlegm at the back of my throat and I constantly need to clear it. I think it drives people around me nuts, especially in work. It's been going on for a few months and I'm wondering, should I get it checked?
It's very common. Yeah. So again, it can be that hay fever piece if you've kind of a dripping from your nose into your throat. But that clearing throat becomes this really vicious cycle because the more you clear your throat, the more you irritate the throat, the more you want to clear it. You know, weirdly, if you're dehydrated at all, your secretions are thicker. So making sure you're drinking a lot of water, you know, to help keep everything running. You can use lots of sprays to help kind of liquefy any secretions in your nose. But, you know, if it's a case of that you feel like something's stuck in your throat, even though there isn't, particularly if you're a smoker, or your voice has changed, anything like that, obviously go. You'd need to have your throat checked because you can get polyps and things on your vocal cords as well. One of the things an ENT person said years ago was, you know, someone who's always clearing their throat, tell them to have water. We're all better at that. We have our water on our table so that instead of clearing your throat, when you get that urge to clear your throat, take a sip of water because that can clear the airway without that irritation that drives that vicious cycle.
Listeners wondering, is it possible, Nina, for their 8-year-old to have scalp psoriasis and how should I treat it? I thought it might have been dandruff, but it seems to be really based on her scalp. I don't want to do anything that could make it worse, though.
Probably more commonly than psoriasis in a child that age would be kind of a what we call seborrheic dermatitis, which is where you get a fungus on the scalp and you can get this, you know, the cradle cap kind of look. It can look really scaly and thick. So fungal infections would be more common in an 8-year-old than psoriasis. But again, go to your doctor because they can prescribe you things in pharmacies. You can buy Nizoral shampoo or Selsun shampoo, which are these anti-dandruff shampoos that can treat fungus. And then, you know, gently with a soft toothbrush, the same way we do with babies with cradle cap, is that when the scalp is moist and you just gently brush with a toothbrush and it can loosen scales that are there. So that might be something to try treating first. But there are lots of treatments. Do go to your doctor. They'll know, kind of looking at it, what the difference is.
Listener has a 12-year-old son whose eyes get sore quite regularly, mainly in the morning and often from bright lights, such as lights from cars at nighttime. He's had 2 eye tests done. No concerns. He does wear glasses, but the prescription has been checked and it's also fine. So I'm wondering what it could be.
So sore eyes, I guess, I mean, it could just be a sensitivity to glare. I guess that could be causing it. But obviously, it is worth going along to the doctor. The eye tests, I'm assuming they were done with an optician. Opticians really have excellent equipment. They're very well trained in examining the eye. I don't know, at 12 years of age, I mean, certainly I actually went for an eye test at the weekend. So, you know, you can have that kind of puff test to look for pressure, and they can do all these tests to look at the back of your eye and take pictures.
Yeah, it's amazing, the
test.
The
technology
is
amazing. It's so thorough now. But I just don't know, do they do that for 12-year-olds? Because it's just to see what the eye assessment was. Was it just looking at his prescription? Definitely you can go to your doctor. And if you're worried, you know, you shouldn't have sore eyes. Moving your eyes shouldn't hurt. Your eyes shouldn't get red and sore. And that would require being referred on to an ophthalmologist, which is a doctor who deals with the eye. So, opticians are really, really skilled, but there's a slight difference in the skill set. So, you know, if the prescriptions and the focus and everything is okay, it might be worth just checking in with the doctor to see if there any kind of other inflammation of areas of the eye, things like that.
If we didn't get to your question today, we'll keep it for next Monday's Ask the GP. For today, though, that's Dr. Nina Burns, GP at Generation Health Medical Clinic. Nina, thanks a million for joining us here on Lunchtime Live. You can get more from Nina on X at Dr. Nina Burns, and the website is generationhealth.ie.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk. Conversation that counts.